Okay, the topic of this meeting is the sixth and the seventh step. I would like to introduce our first speaker, Keith.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Keith, and I'm a Hattie.
Hey,
you know, first of all, let's give God praise, you know, for the breath of life and recovery. You know, when I came into this fellowship, I thought I was too old to get this. I was 51 years old when I came into the fellowship. I'm coming up on 19 years. Aging in recovery, I just turned 70. And it's only through God's grace and mercy that I'm here, standing here. You know, and the sixth step, you know, defects of character. I remember when I got here, and a few people have heard my story. You know, I came here for 2 years with a hammer in my bag. I didn't know if you all was going to be acceptable to homosexuality, but the first one of you that said anything, I was going to bust you in the head. For the first 90 days, I was in a meeting, and the only thing I would say is that my name is Keith and I'm an addict, because everyone was talking about relapse. You all scared me. You know, I had been out there using for over 40 years. And I was just tired. I didn't realize I was sick and tired of me at the time. And some brothers pulled me up after the meeting because I thought I had to go back out there again to get it right. And some brothers pulled me up after the meeting and they told me, they suggested that I get into the literature. And they told me that I didn't have to go back out there. And so that's what I did. You know, I came here and I didn't have a lot of money, you know, because money has always been an incentive in my life. And, you know, I've done some things, you know, in recovery, you know, like going to the bank, taking their money out, knowing it wasn't mine, you know, threatening people, wanting to fight some people. And a few people told me that I probably need some outside help. I didn't think I needed any outside help because I didn't think anything was wrong with me. I took that suggestion right, and I went to anger management classes. And I went there for, it was like 9 months. And when I went in there, I was talking to the lady, right? And, you know, the conversation was all about me. And I didn't want to tell a lady about me. You know, I really wanted to hit her, you know. And she told me, she said, Mr. Tell, we have a lot of work ahead of us. You know, she made me feel welcome in her office. And for those 9 months that I was in her office, I had learned not to be so critical of myself. Not to take everything that people were saying personal. It really had helped me a lot, you know. But one of my great worrying is I'm human, so I have a lot of shortcomings still. You know, I am not a perfect being, but I'm aware of them today. You know I don't have to react on them. And then some days I just like to react. You know, I do, you know. And it's not physically, it's like a verbal thing, you know. Because I've always said I don't want to put anybody else on my eighth step because I have a book already for the eighth step, you know. So I don't want to put anybody else on there. So I said if I don't do the things that I have to put somebody on there, I will be all right. You know, they told me when I got here to get a sponsor, you know, get in service, get a network of people. I have another home group here in Baltimore. And my defects with that home group, you know, because I was a secretary like for almost 3 years and we was on Zoom. And then this other person decided they was gonna be the secretary. Well, they don't live in Baltimore, they live in California. So that means you have to get up 3 hours earlier. Because the meeting's at 11:30 every Sunday morning. You have to get up 3 hours early to get on the meeting. And I was like, okay. At the time, I wasn't thinking about the 3 hours. I was thinking about, that's my position, you know, and if I could get to you, you know. Thank God for a network and my sponsor, right? Like I said, because the old Keith would pop up at any given moment. Any given moment, you know, I just don't have to react. And I was so upset with this person, right, because they came in, they just took over the meeting. And I said to myself, I said, well, for the first 6 months, I have nothing to say in the meeting. You know, I have no input. Don't ask me to read anything. And then it seemed like the very first meeting after he had did all this, he had the nerve to call me, you know, the meeting, and say, well, you're going to do the meeting. No, I'm not doing the meeting. I disconnected myself from Zoom. I did, you know.
Disconnected.
You know, my character defects, and I had a lot of them. You know, doing some step work and learning who I am. You know, I remember.
Hello?
I remember that before I got into the fellowship, you know, I had these defects of character that I didn't even realize. You know, I can remember at the age of 14, you know, I took my father's car, and we lived in the county, and I took his car at the age of 14, and I drew a mustache and a goatee, and I went to New York. I took his car for a month, and then I was scared to come back home. You know, and when I got back home, I went to training school. You know, I was a mercenary too. You know, I just know if I continue to take a look at Keith, you know, down to from my toes up to the top of my head, you know, apply these spiritual principles that's in here, the willingness, basically, in step six, is the willingness that I'm going to be just fine. You know, and I reached out for help today. You know, when I was asked to do this convention, I said, well, I really had nothing really to share to myself. You know, I didn't tell my sponsee brother this. And sometimes people see more of me than I see in myself. They said, you know, I look in the mirror every morning, and I like what looks back at me. I know I have an awesome God, you know, because when I got here, I didn't have one. You know, and they told me I could use their God until I got one of my own. I didn't understand that either, you know, and they kept saying, keep coming back. They told me, just keep coming back. You know, those little cliches they used to have, it was one that really stuck with me. It was like, the mind is like a parachute. It doesn't function unless it's open. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to jump out of a plane with a parachute that's not open. You know, I've hit bottom already. You know, I'm trying to come up. You know, I was telling my sponsee brother, you know, I remember after I got 10 years, Nakata Sanam became boring to me. You know, I said, everybody had double digits, and I was like, I want double digits. You know, somebody had betted me some money that I wouldn't stay for 5 years. I told you money was an incentive to me. And so after the 5 years, I went looking for the brother, honey, to get my money. And he told me to get out of his face. You know, I said, okay, but by this time I got a taste of Narcotics Anonymous, and I loved the way that I was living. But anyhow, when I got to 10 years, and, you know, I had stopped going to a lot of meetings. And God placed this person in my life. And he was coming up on 1 year, and he hadn't been to the conventions. And we decided we were going to go to the convention in Ocean City. We was like two little children. It was pouring down, raining. We had no umbrella. We was out in the rain and everything. He put that spark of Narcotics Anonymous back in my life, and I thank God for him. I thank God for him. You know, left to my own devices. If he hadn't came in my life, I don't know if I would still be here or not. I really don't. You know, but God makes no mistakes in my life. I don't know about anybody else's, but he makes no mistakes in mine. And he puts things in front of me to let me know that this could be you. Where I live at, you know, there's drugs all over the place. But once I'm going to my house, you know, I'm at peace. And I have been looking for peace so long in my life. You know, I have a loving and caring family. I'm a family-oriented person. And my sister, who I love dearly, she used to always tease me. She'd be saying, oh, you really became a punk now. You really a punk now. You don't do the things that you used to do. And I asked her, would you like the old Keith back? No. You know, I don't want the old Keith back. You know, I just know that if I continue to go to meetings, pray, and don't pick up, I'll get another year clean. You know, I don't plan on going anywhere. You know, I know if I get in any kind of situations, you know, that I have a network of people that I can go to. I don't have to bring everything that I share in my life in the rooms. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, because there's some things I'm just not telling you all. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't even tell my sponsor everything. You know, I have a network. I have a friend of mine that I tell us everything to. I know he gets tired of me. You know, I just dump it right on him. And he's a loving and caring person, you know. And he's like a shot of hope for me. He's a shot of hope for me. You know, I was just showing some pictures of some recovery addicts when I first got here. When I first got here, I was 199 pounds. I've never weighed that much in my life. And I was like, I can't walk around in this room like this. You know, the outside was looking fantastic when I got here. And I had to do some work on the inside to make it match. And which I had, and I continue to do. But I was telling my buddy about another character defect. You know, they told me to come here and accumulate some things. You know, I like to look nice. I don't know about anybody else, but I'd be comfortable choked up. I do. I be comfortable choked up, you know. You know. And people that know me knows that they know this is who I am, you know. And I allow them to be a part of my life because there's sometimes, you know, I don't want people to be a part of my life. You know, I can feel a bad spirit that just won't set with me. It just don't set with me. So, I say what I mean, but I don't be mean saying it. You know, anymore. You know, I've changed a lot, you know, and it's only for the better, you know, in my life that I see, you know. I was up this morning, right? I was telling my sponsor, brother, I had a restless night last night, you know, and it wasn't because of the meeting, and I don't know what was going on. I know I was just up and down all last night, you know. I have a daughter at home. Her name is Angel. She's my four-legged daughter. You know, spoiled rotten, you know, and she is that unconditional love when I get home. You know, when I get in there and she just be all over me, it's that love that makes me want to come back to the meetings because, you know, I don't like leaving her in the house anymore because when I was working, I would leave her in the house like for 10 hours and I felt bad, you know. I'd be tired. I was like, I have a daughter home. I can't work, you know. You know, and the thing was, like, the owner told me, well, it's nothing but a dog, but she's mine. Absolutely. She's mine, you know. And I quit. And I went back because they asked me to come back three times. They offered me more money, but they told me I have to stand for something and fall for anything. I don't like the way the people disrespect other people today. And I'm not one of those people that you're going to disrespect. You know, if I respect you, that's what I expect back. And when I told them I was leaving for the last time, I gave them a 2-week notice. And I guess they thought I was joking. But after the 2 weeks, you know, I went home and I stayed. And they called me and asked me, where was I at? And I'm home. You know, I'm home with my daughter. And he's going to tell me, well, you ain't saved that much money. Get out my pocket. You know, until you all told me to put something away for a rainy day. My grandmother used to tell me that all the time. I thought something was wrong with her. You know, I understand today. Sometimes it takes me a little while, you know, to grasp, you know, but eventually I'll get it. And I put something away for a rainy day, you know, and I found myself, it's been like 3 years, going on 3 years now. You know, I haven't asked nobody for any kind of help financially. I haven't. My defects of character, I wanted to go to Social Security and blow them up. I did. They just told me, I just got a letter from them, and they told me that I owed them some money. And because I had too much money in the bank, and I couldn't grasp that one. So I went to close the account, and they told me I had to make an appointment to close my account. So I asked for a withdrawal slip, and I took every penny out of it. You know, I said, well, there's no money in it, so I didn't have to worry about it. You know, my thing is that if I continue to do the work that I'm doing, keep it simple, stand with the basic, and they talked about the basic last night, stand with the basics. And they talk about that in the book, you know, the simplicity of this program. It's real simple. Just follow it. And it talks about people who follow this has never, and they say never, you know, relax in so many words. And I like that. You know, everybody in mind had called me, but changed their mind and went back out. I know I can't save anyone. And I don't try anymore. And they asked me, recently, I was sharing with my sponsee brother about it. And they asked me recently, does it get worse when you go back out? And I told them, I don't know. You know, so I'm not giving some information that I know nothing about. I can send you to somebody. I've heard it gets worse. I don't want to go out there to find out. No, I'm not going out there to find out. Let me make that clear. You know, I know I'm a loving, caring person today. And I will help anybody that needs help. You know, if they ask me for it. I know I just can't push this on anyone. I don't know how much time I have left.
3 minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm done. I'm done right now. I was thank y'all for letting me share.
Thank you.
Hey, Max.
Thank you, Keith. I would like to introduce our next speaker. Keith is from Baltimore. I'd like to introduce our next speaker, Veronica from Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, Veronica.
Hey. Recovering addict named Veronica.
Hey, Veronica, baby.
First and foremost, I would like to thank the God of my understanding for being clean in every recovery. He came in his literature. I say, can I hold this? Right? It was real good hearing you share. I love Keith. But I ain't all nice like Keith. Keith had a real soft voice. I don't, right? Keith said his 10th year, he had a spiritual awakening or something. I went to jail. Keith had, and I was like, look at Keith, right? Keith had all this good stuff. I'm trying to figure out the sixth step hurt the defects. Mm-hmm. And he was like, well, then share about willingness. And I was like, well, you know, I was one of them that got dragged. I wasn't the, like, the easy, come along, we're going to do this, and it's going to be that way. What my story, right? I wasn't... you know, when I came here, and I know this is the sixth step, but it was the fourth step that gave me my rude awakening, right? And I wanted to share on that. I was like, well, they didn't pick me to share on that step, right? So in my 10th year, and I said I was in recovery. I could do any step meeting, any tradition meeting. I could do the book. I know about the traditions. I know about the 12 concept and 10 years clean. When the guy said that he went to jail, I said, oh, my. What did he go to jail for, right? And so mine was he had the hammer up his sleeve, right, and I couldn't keep my hand off of people because I thought, you know, y'all owed me something, you know, because he was my husband. Right? But I forgot all of the stuff that y'all taught me in the book. And he showed me the whole time that he was married to me for the 30 years, right, that he wasn't no good. I said, y'all was jealous, you know, because he brought me things. I was a kept woman, and I liked being kept, right? Mm-hmm. So when he cheated and I stayed and he brought me, and I said, something wrong with y'all, you know. And they say, well, when are you going to get it? And I was like, man, nobody would be hearing all of that. You know, I like the things. You know, I like the diamonds and the jewelry. I got cars. I got houses. I got an apartment building, right? Because I told you I was married for 30 years, so that means he cheated a long time, and I stayed, right? So when y'all kept asking what I'm going to do, I thought y'all had the problem. Because I was doing my step work. You know, I came to the meetings. I showed up. I secretary. You know, I did all of the basic stuff, right? And when I seen him with her, you know, I never said what I would do if I was seen. Talking about character defects, right? All of that stuff that I learned went straight out the window. I went straight for them. You know, I didn't hear the police when he kept saying, stop. Stop. Me? You want me to stop? I'm going to kill it. You know what I'm saying? So I went to jail. And first I went to the hospital because I'm a TV person, right? So I went to the hospital and they was getting a mace because they had to mace me. They was getting the mace out of my eyes. Then I said, I wonder where I'm going to go. And they say, to jail. And I was like, why? He was my husband. They said, no, he was married to him, but he was everybody's husband. I was like, what? So when I went there, y'all was telling me a whole lot of stuff in jail, like what was going to happen. And I was like, not to me. What you mean happened to me? You know, it was my husband. Yeah, well, it happened to me. I went to jail. And I knew the commissioner was one of us. We got commissioners in here, too, because she said, I said, I'm in a 12-step program. I said, I'm in a 12. I got a sponsor. I got a network. I'm in a 12. She said, they don't teach you that. I was like, huh? I was like, you just don't understand. She was like, you had a split second to change your mind. Yeah. I was like, huh? She was like, yeah, you could have turned that car around at any time and went back home. But he was my husband. She said, girl, he was married to everybody. I was like, she must be one of us. She said, you could go home. And I said, my girl. You know, all the tears dried up, all of that stuff dried up. I had to go to court. I wound up on probation for a year. And I was like, what? And I still didn't let go. I don't know about y'all. Because when I love hard. And he was still my husband. And I still thought I had a chance. And I'm like, go back and get him. But he was with her. You know, and I didn't understand why he didn't take, you know, the old girl. He wanted the young, fine, tender woman. Right? Not the old girl. He thought we were ride or die. But he picked her. So I was forced into therapy. Because y'all say go get some outside help. Mm-hmm. I couldn't go nowhere. I was too afraid that I would see them. So I had to, like, you know, like, stay in the box. So I went to school and after school, and I went to the meeting, and I talked to my sponsor, and I continued to do step work, and I wound up in therapy again. Because I just didn't know what to do. I was with him for a long time. He's supposed to have been my man. So I went in therapy again. As y'all say, keep seeking outside help till you get it, right? So then when I went to therapy this time, I said that, you know, I'm too afraid because I don't want to see him with her. I don't know what, I don't want to go to jail again. What to do? So she told me that that if I don't try to go out, then they make me their victim. Like, I become their victim. Like, I won't be able to get out of the box if I don't try. Because as long as I stayed in the box, they had control over me. So I had to be willing to do something different. So I went to school. I said, hey, you can get money. I like money because she just took my money. Because y'all told me what was his was mine, and mine was his, all that dumb stuff. But when he left, he took the money with him. I'm clear on who the money belongs to. Wasn't my money. Y'all told me, but it wasn't my money. You know, I can believe some of the stuff y'all say. But y'all also say, get an understanding of this program for myself. So, you know, I went to school because when this girl had nothing to do, she go to school. And I did not go to school because I was going to run some program. I was going to be this big time person. All this lovely stuff was going to happen. They paid me. So I went to school. I found a way to get some money. I was like, all right, this ain't bad. You know what I'm saying? My heart was hurting and my pockets was full. I was fully self-supporting. Y'all told me I could be that here. So I was like, all right, now. So I kept on going to school. So you know I went to school for a long time. So I went to school. I got a BS degree. I got a, first I got a certificate in substance abuse because I thought I wanted to be y'all counselor. So then I went back to school and I got a BS degree in psychology because I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure out why he ain't want me. Like me, he was supposed to want, why he ain't want me. So that didn't work. I just wound up with a BS degree. I had nothing to do. So I went back to school. Holly, smart girl here, but I couldn't figure it out. What I did know is that I wasn't going to use no matter what. That's the only thing I could really figure out in this whole process. I wasn't going to use no matter what. Went back to school again. They kept giving me money, and I kept going. But I didn't realize that I would have this big, big bill at the end of going to school. So I went back to school. The money was flowing. I ain't care what y'all say. I got a master's degree. Guess what it was in? Rehab counseling. That I'm still trying to figure that thing out. And I did not know that this was for me to help other people, right? Because of the dilemma that I was in, right? I was so locked up in just him, right? And y'all say that I would love him and lose me. I was like, them people don't know what they're talking about. They say a person has a right to change their mind without your permission and it will affect you. I was like, that NA stuff again. Here they go again with this NA stuff, right? But I stayed, right? And I kept applying myself, right? And I kept doing what y'all was doing and I was, you know, lonely. So I went back to school. I got all the cool courses in being an LCPC, right? Because I didn't know what else to do, right? And then I crashed and burned. Oh, no. Before I crashed and burned, he said I was cute. Uh-oh. I said, oh, suck it now. I said I was cute. I was like, yeah, you know I'm going to make him my boyfriend, right? So he said I was cute. He made me, I made him. He ain't make me nothing. I made him my boyfriend. He took me on one date. I was like, all right, man. I took him on 5 dates. I paid his cell phone bill. I got his clothes out the cleaner. I rode him up and down the street. He took me on one date. My homegirl said, hold up. Hold up. That is not dating. I didn't even know you're supposed to go home. I said, you're supposed to go home? What? I was like, yeah, you date and they go home. I was like, oh my God, I was married for 30 years. I didn't know you went home. I thought you went with them. And he was like, no. I was like, I can't get me a boyfriend for nothing, right? So that didn't work. So then y'all put me on the third day to learn how to love myself. Because I ain't love me. Right? Because I told y'all what it was in the 4-step, even though this is the 6 and 7-step, right? And my character defects kept showing up, right? And I was like, he's talking about, I mean, but I said, man, I was mean. Period. Mean, what you say, mean, gritting, mean, talking trash, what? What? And they was like, calm down. We're in the loving and caring program, right? Because I was the only one that wasn't loving and caring, right? I ain't care what you say. I ain't care what I said about you. I thought you was with, you know, I'm in people business, man. I was like all over the place. And my new sponsor said, let's do some step work again. You know, I thought you were supposed to do the step work one time. So I had to do the step work again, all over again. I think now I'm on my 12th step again. I had to learn to love me all over again. So I had to go to those places, right? I had to tell myself in the morning that I love myself, right? I had to, like, find that spirit that connected with people that love me just for who I am, right? I had to, like, I wasn't going back to school, man. I was so burnt out from school, and that debt was so big, right? I say, well, just maybe I need a job, right? So I started selling and flipping houses because it was easy. It was easy for me because he gave me one through the divorce, right? So I had one. I had a tenant. That money was good. I was like, hey, hey, hey. So then I started, like, buying one, right? And I picked a guy that was doing what I was doing, but he just wanted me for the flip the houses, and I thought he wanted me. Here I go again. That's what I said. I said, He said, no, no. I was like, what? Because I just, you know, can't get it right, right? I'm probably just sit still. I was like, well, what's that? Right? Sit still means do what I need to do for me and not expecting anything from anybody else, right? That means that, you know, go over the steps again and this time talk about Veronica. So I went over the steps, right? And I was sponsoring people and they was going to school because they wanted to be just like me. But in the process of me going to school, I still did my step work. I still did my home group. I still showed up for me in that perspective, right? And they was doing them. So, you know, I quit them. It was like, you can't quit your sponsees. I say they quit me, don't they? They come up to me and say, you know.
Yeah.
You know. I moved on. And my heart be hurting. I was like, what? Right? So, you know, some of them, you know, I had a conversation with them and I just told them that it wasn't working. You know what I'm saying? And some of them, I just cut them off. Why? Because I just don't have that gracefulness like people. I try real hard to my. Well, you know. It's not working. And they think I'm playing. You know, because I'd be like serious on myself. No, it's not working. It's not working. I'm moving on. And I suffered with that for 3 years. Mm-hmm. We still be in this fellowship, right? And we suffer with some stuff that we ain't are. Well, I suffered with some stuff that I wasn't all right with. And I talked to my sponsor and I went back. I even brought that big sponsorship guy. Mm-hmm. And it says that sponsorship is a two-way street. Here come my card to defect. Talking about, well, they ain't on the street with me. I say they going on the other street somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Because I go to meetings. I do, you know, I call my sponsor every day. If I don't call every day, I text her. So they told me, well, I don't need you that much. Well, that's okay. If you doing, y'all said if you want what I had, this is the things that I did, right? So when I came on board with her, she gave me some words and I looked them up. She told me to call her for 30 days. I never stopped calling her. She said you needed to go this place, do that. I did that. Right? Because I followed direction. That was the hardest thing in my life, was not following direction. I was way past hard-headed. You know, they said, he was such a hard-headed child since little. I didn't just grow up and was hard-headed, man. I was hard-headed. I'm the one that you say, don't touch the stove, it's hot, and I touched it. And I say something like, it ain't really that hot. That it was hot. Because I justify not, you know, the outrageous sort of nonsense, and I'd be all right with it, right? So I was killing me and loving them. Here I go again. Killing me and loving them because I wanted people to do step work because that's how I grew. Because whenever I'm in a dilemma, I want them to help me. But if I don't give you nothing because you're not doing nothing, you have nothing to give me back. And I wanted to grow in this process, right? So my willingness to grow, meaning that I do whatever I need to do when I need to do it, and I've run everything by my sponsor. I be hearing people saying, I ain't running. I'm worrying about my sponsor. I'm giving her everything, calling her up, what you think. And then sometimes she be like, well, where'd you get that from? I said, that's not a good idea. She said, no. She said, I don't think that's a good idea. But I like her. She said, do we like you? I said, I don't know. Did you ask her? Never thought. They were talking to me. She was like, okay. You know what I'm saying? I still think, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to get him. I like that one. I'm going to get him. And then she keep asking me. You need to ask a person that. Do you like me? Do you like me enough to be in a relationship? Do you like me enough that we not going to? You know, you never want to ask those questions. Do you not like me?
Right. Yeah.
Right. You say, yeah, I like you. But do you like me enough to like me to be your girlfriend like you? We'll see. We'll see. It's not good enough for me. I don't want nobody's husband. I don't want nobody's boyfriend. I don't want nobody that's doing it to somebody and all we doing is doing it, right? You know they say that, right? Do she know? And then here I go, do you know y'all just doing it with my nosy self, right? That ain't your business, right? I don't want nobody that's thinking about somebody else, and I don't want to be a substitute. I don't want to be a side chick. I don't want to be around the corner chick. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be none of that. I want to be your girlfriend looking to be your wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Because I'm fully self-supporting. I decline outside contributions. Okay. I bring a whole lot to the table. Mm. Right? So I ain't expecting for you to bring as much as I got to the table because, you know, from going to school, right? Uh-huh. Right? My finances is real. What'd you say? Keep real good. Right? So I'm fully self-supporting, right? Got a couple of things because I got that because I did a whole lot of stuff here to get some stuff, right? I've been over the steps a couple of times, and I'm a 12-stepper, and I'm still doing step work. I have a service commitment, and I go there. I still go to meetings. I got a good network, right? Because I'm the girl that came for 12 steps, 12 traditions, and 12 concepts. I'm her. I'm her. I can do any pamphlet meeting, any step meeting, any book meeting. Why? Because I invested in this program for myself.
That's right.
Right? So when I come to the table, I'm bringing something. Right? And then sometimes my low self-esteem, would you say, willing? Sometimes my low self-esteem and say, I'll just take them anyway because I need somebody. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So now I'm on an assignment where I'm strictly, totally by myself. And it ain't bad.
All
right, you know what I'm saying? I ain't never, ever, ever been single. I was like, God, that's all right. I can fix one egg. I can even leave a couple little plates in the sink. You know what I'm saying? I can clean up when I want to. Right? My laundry loads ain't big. I was like, that's all right, you know what I'm saying? Right? And then I don't really have to, like, just, like, talk to myself because I have some ladies and guys in my life that I can talk to and run some stuff by, right? Because I thought that being single meaning that I'm alone, right? I learned that being single meaning that I am fully self-supporting and I am whole. I was like, this, and everything is all right, right? So when my person or my boyfriend or whatever come, I'm going to be in position. Right, because I'm already be by myself, so I know how to do it all. Right, and the stuff that I don't do, you know, my change is good. I can get somebody to do it for me. Right, and I never, ever, ever thought that I would be here. You know, I always had something, some of your man, some of my man, some of her man. You know what I'm saying? Because I thought I could never be by myself. Right, and this is the first time I'm being by myself, and I love it. I love it. I got one more story to share with y'all, right? Right. So when Reggie asked Keith and I to do the meeting, it was about a year ago, right? So, you know, I'm always in something, right? I'm always doing something, going someplace, right? I love to travel. I've been in a lot of states, a lot of places, right? I got two more conventions coming up, California and... Then I'm going to Texas with a friend of mine, right? Because I just love traveling, right? Mm-hmm. So Keith said, oh, yeah, we ready for the convention. I was like, convention? Right, Reggie told us about the convention. I said, what convention? She's like, well, let me send you the flight. Did you register? And I was like, is it that serious? He was like, it's a convention. So I get up and I register, right, for the convention, right? And I said, I'm ready. And the process to me registering for my convention every year, February 23rd, has always been my mama's birthday. So we're having an 80th birthday party for my mother today.
All right.
So I say, how can I, what time is the time? Because now I'm rushing there, right? Oh, I can get up here, I can do the thing, oh, I can spend the night, no, I can do this, I can do that, right? But because I love N.A., and N.A. gave me a life worth living, right? And it gave me the opportunity to be able to be a part of the party that I'm giving my mother, right? I done already called everybody because I'm real, real bossy. I already called everybody and say, you can do that, you pick her up, you get her hair done, you make sure she's okay. So all I got to do is come and sit at the table when they come into the door. And they be like, stop, girl. I was like, no, that's what we're going to do. Because I wasn't always the daughter that was there for my mother, right? She was always looking for me. Right, it's a 7 of us, me and my oldest brother, lost our mind and went to the streets. Right, and my mother stood beside her kids. I could never not come in. You know, people say, well, I couldn't come in, they fed me through the plate. Nope, I could come in, and I had to be the last one that could lock the door. Because my mother never, like, disowned us. My mother never, like, no, you can't. My mother never, like, here, slide the money, don't let nobody know you got it, right? So my mother has always been there for me, so I'm always going to be there for my mother. Mm-hmm. Thanks for allowing me to share.
I would like to